G'day folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome back perhaps. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Today we're taking a sidestep in from our usual studies and we're going to look into the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Now, I love the book of Psalms, I really do. I find that often as I'm going through my own personal study elsewhere, there's a cross-reference into the Psalms. And so I jump in and I look at that and I look at sort of the context around it. And I can honestly say that over past years, I have truly fallen in love with the book of Psalms. I was sharing just this past week at our men's breakfast that Psalm 91, for me, it's my go-to place when there's something just bringing trouble or turmoil or discontent, whatever it might be in my life. Psalm 91 is where I go. And I suggested to them that perhaps they should go through the Psalms also and just find a go-to psalm, that one that speaks to them in those times of trouble. And we see so much in here, and I think that's why I have come to love them, is I see myself in here, my story often, so often told through these men from thousands of years ago, but I see so much also the loving hand of God and His absolute devotion to His people. And that's the beauty that we find in the Psalms. And so as I was looking at them, I thought, I have so many notes here. I've just not put them to video. So that's what we're going to start doing. From time to time, I was going to jump in and we'll jump back out again, continue our other studies also. But here with the Psalms, just that we can learn more then of the heart of God for us. Want to join with me on that trip? Fantastic. Grab your Bible. Let's have a look now. We'll start from Psalm 1. And I guess as a point of reference, there are 150 different books. This is going to take some time. No rush. God willing. We're not going anywhere just yet. Save His return. Hey, then we won't be complaining. Yes. But for now, we're here to read and to learn and to study and share the good news, the gospel, the kingdom of God. Moving on. And as we go through these, you will hear snippets that you know that they're from the New Testament. I think the Psalms are actually quoted 60, 70-something times in the New Testament. That'll depend, of course, you know, on you look at the Gospels, and of course, they overlap in different places. That's the number, as I sort of had a search on that one. But so often, that's what we're looking at. And we see here that the writers, the men who actually put pen to paper, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit, that they understood something so important that if we haven't got this yet, I think we too should. Two things. Number one, they understood that life is hard. Yes, sometimes, absolutely. But number two, God is good always. Sometimes, yes, life is hard. Absolutely. But always, God is good. And that's what we will see here in the Psalms. The writers of the Psalms, they understood the importance of communication with God, reading of the Word. So often we see here referred to as the law, but the Word. And we now having the whole body of Scripture, we get to read and have our Lord speak to us through it. And then we get to come to Him in prayer also. How good is that? They knew that their prayers were being heard, and I like this, and then they trusted in God that He would act on their behalf according to His will. And we see all of this beauty and majesty revealed in the Psalms. So let's get into it. I'm getting goosebumps just from this. I love this. And I pray that you too, as we go through these, will also begin to just fall in love with these beautiful, beautiful, majestic words that we see so often in here. I think for Psalm 1, I'm actually going to read the whole psalm. I wouldn't normally do that. It's only 6 verses. I'm going to read it, then we'll come back, look at some notes along the way. And as we do that, just take notice of verse 6 as we come to it, because verse 6 is actually the key to really understanding Psalm 1. Let's read from verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, verse 2, his delight, this is the man, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, God's law, he, the man, meditates day and night. He, verse 3, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And then we see this flip, this switch. The ungodly, however, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And here we go, verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Verse 1. This word, blessed, Essa, meaning, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy, how blessed. And we see a similar thing in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Oh, how happy are the poor in spirit. Oh, how happy are those who mourn. Now, if that makes no sense to you whatsoever, which I completely get, when I first read it, it didn't either. I have 3 videos, which I have done at my men's breakfast, on the Beatitudes. Because we can look here and we can go also favored. Blessed, favored. Oh, how happy are those who are poor in spirit. Really? Well, yes. We're speaking of spiritual things. Blessed are those who mourn. Really? Yes. We're speaking of spiritual things. So if you haven't ever gone through those videos, I would encourage you, just search them here and you'll find them and have a look. They are great. It helps us understand here. Blessed, oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And one of the first lessons that we learn here is that we can learn just as much about being blessed from, one, what we do, but also, two, what we don't do. And I have learnt this lesson in life myself. My wife, beautiful, beautiful lady, absolutely. And I thank God for the blessing on our marriage, no doubt. But I have learnt from past mistakes what not to do. And now I'm learning what to do. And I thank God for that. And it's got to be the same in our Christian walk also. It's got to be the same in our relationships. It's got to be the same in all areas. Learn from what not to do as well as what to do. You probably heard the old saying, you know, the best way to learn is from your mistakes. No, that's the dumbest way in the world to learn. Why would you want to learn from getting it wrong when you can read a good book or speak to someone of wisdom in the Lord and learn what not to do so you don't have to do it? That's good advice. That's good instruction. And that's what we see right here. Who walks not? So let's look at what not to do. One is, we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it says. And folks, this whole world is geared towards ungodly counsel, ungodly discussion, ungodly wisdom. Social media, I'm not going to pick on it, but hey, it's good. It's full of good advice, yes, but ungodly, most of it. Even our own flesh is geared towards seeking after itself, which is ungodly. And we are not to be like that. Blessed is the man who does not. And we do not stand, it says here, in the path of sinners. And we're seeing a pattern here. Walking, standing, sitting, each one getting further, getting deeper into the world. Blessed is the man who does not. And what we're really talking about here is what I would call the road less traveled. And I do remember from my studies of years past, it's not surprising, I guess, that I loved the Psalms, because I did a lot of writing when I was younger, studied writing, all that stuff. And there was a beautiful poem by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken. And it talks about the condition of the human, the man, to be able to stop and to pause and to consider 2 different ways. And in that, not a Christian poem, just a great way of explaining things. And we see the beginning of it, if I can remember it. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. I love the poetic language, which is what we also then begin to see here in Psalms. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long, I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And it speaks of this man coming to a crossroad, looking this way, looking that way. Which one should I take? It finishes with, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Folks, this has to be us also. Our path is to be Christ. And even, I say it sadly, amongst the Christian community, that is too often the road less traveled by. But we, folks, we must be different. We are called to come out from the world, just as they were the children of Israel. We too also, by the Holy Spirit and by faith in Christ, we are called to come out and to be different. And we are told here what not to do. And the last one, nor do we sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't sit around the lunchroom and engage in the conversation of bitterness. We be careful not to get involved in social media, in the backbiting and the gossip, really, truly what it is. We be careful when we come across that group of old school friends and remember who we were before we were Christ. I guess I'm speaking to myself here. Perhaps there's something in it for you also. Those conversations that are not uplifting. Oh, how happy, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, and here we flip it over. His delight, verse 2, this is us, is to be in the law of the Lord. And in his law, God's law, we meditate day and night. And as I mentioned briefly, you will see throughout the Psalms, God's law here referring to his word. And we, being so blessed, have so much that we can now look at different times. Everything in there, we need the word revealing Christ to us. So we've seen what not to do, and then we are seeing what to do. We are to delight. And to delight in something, it's not to be forced. You know the thing I struggled with the most as a young Christian? I have to study my Bible. You have to study your Bible, Paul. Man, that was hard yakka. It really was. I struggled with it so much. For 20-something years, I struggled with it. So if you find that you're reading the Word, the Bible, and you struggle with it, don't condemn yourself, folks. This is, for many of us, part of our growth in Christ, learning to love it. That's one of the reasons why I want to record these videos, to help you, I pray, learn to just fall in love and to delight in that law, in that word of the Lord. And when we delight, we do it out of not compulsion, but out of desire. It becomes our choice. Oh, let me now read this. And as we dig through John 1, in the beginning, this is what I like. Let me just pause. You've heard it said that the Bible reveals Christ to us. Yes, two things I find in Scripture. One is it shows us who he is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But two, it also shows us who we are. Thankfully, three, let me just add this in, it shows us who we are in him. Yes. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. And verse 14, that Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh, and then the Word dwelt among us. This is Jesus. When we read of these words, we are expressly being shown who he is and the heart. I'm going to come to that in verse 6 in just one moment, and how his hand is in even this for you. And it says here, blessed is this man. He meditates on these words day and night. And this is not This is not Eastern meditation. This is not, you know, sitting there and singing Kumbaya or something like that. I don't quite think that's the Eastern meditation way of doing it. This is the Christian man who fills his mind with the things of God and the things of the Word. And then we think on it and we consider it. I had to, in my life, if I go back many years ago, teach myself a habit, because my waking dreams, if I can say that, when I would wake in the middle of the night, often following a nightmare, my then waking dreams, those thoughts that you just can't stop when you're not quite awake, but then you are. And I had to teach myself to think about something from Scripture, and I would actually go to bed with a Bible verse in mind, for not if, but when I would wake up with the nightmares. And so I would wake in that moment and I would say, once I realized what I was doing, and say, Lord, what's my Bible verse for tonight? And I would repeat it. And I would just start talking to God about it. What does that mean? Is there something here for me? What did you mean when you were talking to the people it was actually written for, given to, spoken to? And I would just, the questions didn't matter. But I would just take captive those thoughts in my head and push them away and replace them with something from this Word. And that then turned into a beautiful habit of just reading day and night and just thinking about it. And really, when you think about it, there are only two times that you actually have to read the Bible, day and night. But it says then, the benefits of such a life. He, verse 3, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Oh boy, this is the Spirit-filled, Word-led life. This is what it is, a tree. We become like that. Planted by rivers of water, the tree growing strong by the river. This is where we take that poetic, beautiful license, which so many get upset by in modern sort of hymns and modern worship. Oh, they shouldn't be saying it's poetic, guys. Now, don't get me wrong. It's got to be pointing towards Jesus. But we look at the poetic license which the poet, the psalmist, uses here. The poem I read earlier, same thing, poetic license. We are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Constant nutrition, constant supply. And Jesus, speaking also of a similar principle, using poetic license, said, whoever drinks of the water that I give, John 4, that I give, to him he will never thirst. And the water that I shall give him, Jesus says, will become in him a foundation of water springing up into everlasting life. And that's speaking, of course, to the Holy Spirit within. Jesus, now our source, planted in him. And we are to bring forth our fruit in season, as we see here in the psalm. Does a good tree do that? Yep. I got some fruit trees out the back. Have they started to do that? Yep. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us what kind of fruit we should be bringing forth. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit-led life. And here in the psalm, we see that the man is planted, the man is supplied, and the man bears fruit. Now for us, now in Christ, we are rooted in Christ. We receive life through his Spirit, and that Spirit produces fruit in us. Yes, Jesus spoke of this many times. As we go through these, always, always be looking for him. He's in here. He's right throughout the Word, and he's revealed to us through it. John 15, verses 4 to 5, you might be familiar with these. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I will in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without you, without me, he says, you can do nothing. And the psalmist here is saying that the godly man, he is planted where he received constant nutrition and therefore bears fruit. Where is he planted? It says it right here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. That is where he is planted. John 15, Jesus is saying that spiritual fruit comes from being planted and abiding in him. And then we see this brings forth its fruit, listen carefully, in its season. So hear me when I say this. Fruit is not instantaneous. Trees we've got out the back at the moment, it's been 4.5 years, we saw our first, just a couple of fruits this season, just a couple. Next season, we're praying and looking for more. But fruit does not come immediately. A newly planted tree, it doesn't produce a mature harvest. In the same way, the Spirit produces fruit in the Christian man, in the believer, but maturity develops over time. I want you to hear that. I think that's perhaps for you today. Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 that being, which is us, we are being transformed into the same image of him from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, from step to step by step. And it's why I've actually spent a bit of time, the whole majority of this video, on these first three verses. But, verse 4, the ungodly, not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. The chaff which is the husk of the wheat. And as they thresh it, as they would bounce it up and down, the wind would carry away that unfruitful part. And again, we see these references throughout Scripture. John the Baptist spoke of it in Luke 3, said his, meaning God's winnowing fan. This is the fan which would throw the wheat and the chaff around. It says, in his hand, he will thoroughly cleanse out the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff will be burnt with unquenchable fire. The chaff, not good, the unrighteous. That's what we see here. I don't want to spend too much time on this unrighteous man. No. We focus the good man, the godly man, the Christ man. That's what we focus on. Someone comes to me with the plans of the enemy. Oh, but they're doing this and oh, but they're doing that. And I say, yes, but God has done this and God has done that. We don't need to know the plans of the enemy. We don't need to know the plans of our King because he already knows and has overcome the plans of the enemy. Be mindful, yes. Pray against it, yes. Don't become obsessed with it. It would literally be like reading through Psalm 1 and becoming obsessed with those last two verses there. Let's see what the enemy's doing. Let's see what's going to happen to them. No. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And verse 5, the ungodly. Therefore, they shall not stand in the judgment in that day, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Nope, 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 nope. And so what we see here is something incredibly significant in Psalm 1. Let me summarize this. The righteous man, planted, rooted, nourished, fruitful, enduring. But the ungodly man's like chaff. No deep roots, rootless. Weightless, driven away, unable to stand in that day in judgment, will not hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we look for, praise God. We are called to become and to follow the way of the righteous man here, not the ungodly. Spend your time in the Word accordingly. Learn what not to do, yes, but then do what to do says. And we find the key to the whole thing now in verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 begins with this blessed man choosing which way he will walk. It ends with the Lord knowing the way that he has chosen. And here, the word know in the Hebrew, meaning so much more than just sort of simply being aware of him. In Amos 3, verse 2, we see another glimpse of this kind of knowing when the Lord says to Israel, he says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Now, God knew every nation. He knew of them. But here, for Israel, he was known. They were known by their relationship. Both times, this word knowing in the Hebrew, the same, meaning the same. And then we come to Jesus and we finish off, I pray, always when we can with the Lord. We come to him, the good shepherd who says, I what? Know my sheep. And in the, this was just a little nerd study. Give me one moment. In the Septuagint, which is the sort of the original Greek version of the Old Testament, this knowing, it's actually the same Greek word used here in the Psalm as it was when Jesus would then talk about knowing his sheep. They used the same word also there in the Greek. And we see in that the great comfort here. Psalm 1, the righteous man, he is not walking alone. He is planted by this beautiful water. He is being nourished, and in season, the fruit begins to appear. The storms may come, yep, absolutely, but unlike the chaff, he has roots. And above all, listen carefully, the Lord knows by relationship, intimately, his way. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the shepherd knows the road. So there are two ways in this psalm. One is known by the Lord. The other, it just ends in destruction. So we look at Psalm 1. And I think there's a question that we need to just look at simply. What kind of tree am I? Which way am I walking? Which path will I take? Because the way we choose, folks, it does matter. Blessed is the man whose life is rooted in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Whose life bears the fruit of that relationship, whose way is known intimately by relationship with the Lord. Psalm 1. All right, folks. Next video, I guess, Psalm 2. God bless. We'll talk soon.